This is episode 222, Automation Tools.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast to episode number 222. As always, I just want to start by saying a big thank you for listening to this episode, because I know how valuable your time is, so it really does mean a lot that you tune in to listen to these little episodes. And today, I'm recording an episode to expand on last week's episode all about automation. Now, last week, I talked about how to get started just thinking about automation, the process, how to map out your processes and the kind of work that lends itself well to automation. And this week, I'm continuing from that, and I'm going to be talking specifically about some automation tools that you can learn about. And you will want to check out the show notes for this episode at paulminers.com/222, because I've linked to a lot of further videos and resources and things that I think will be helpful if you want to learn more about any of these specific automation tools. So anyway, if you haven't already, go back and listen to part one. I think that's going to be a nice precursor for this episode. And then once you've thought about some of the processes or tasks that you'd like to automate, now we can start creating the actual workflows that can do the work for you. And when it comes to automation, there really is no shortage of tools and services to choose from. We live in a really great time now where there's automation is kind of one of the buzzwords, and a lot of services are looking at, you know, how do we integrate with different tools and help people automate parts of their work. So there's no one best tool to use for automation. The tool you use will largely depend on what it is that you're trying to do exactly. So one of the first tools I want to talk about is one of the most well-known, which you've maybe heard of before, especially if you've listened to this podcast, and it is Zapier. And just to correct anyone who might be listening to that and saying, is it Zapier or is it Zapier? It's Zapier. Zapier makes you happier, is how you remember how to say Zapier. Now, Zapier is an internet-based automation tool, and it can be used to connect different online services together. And it's the tool that I use for most of the automated workflows that I run in my business. So for example, when a client books a one-on-one consulting session with me via Calendly. Calendly is the, you know, online internet service that I use to allow people to view my availability and schedule an appointment. Zapier sees that booking happen, and it can then create a task for me, an appointment task, in my Asana account. And Asana, again, is another sort of cloud-based online tool. So Zapier kind of sits between Calendly and Asana and facilitates and does that work for me. So it sees the booking and it creates the task for me in Asana. And like a lot of automation tools, Zapier works using a trigger action system. And this is kind of one of the quite nice things about automation is once you start using one tool, a lot of automation tools really work in a similar way when we talk about triggers, which are the events that have to happen to start an automation, and then you have the actions that the automation actually goes and performs. So a lot of the tools you will hear me talk about today work in a similar way. But for example, yeah, like with that example before, like the Calendly booking being received, that is the trigger. Zapier sees that happen. And then once the booking is made, Zapier can execute on a preset list of actions. So as part of me setting up the workflow, I've set up these are the actions that I need you to go and perform. And in the show notes for this episode, I've included some screenshots of an example Zap. And one of the cool things you can do with Zapier is in those action steps, like in that step where I'm creating a task in Asana, I can have Zapier populate that task with any information from the previous steps or from the trigger. So for example, I can use the person's name, the person who made that booking, I can use their name in the task title or description. And so it allows me to kind of personalize that task. And so this is a really simple example, but Zapier is very powerful, and it can be used to create complex workflows that perform multiple actions, not just in one tool, but in a range of tools at once. It can perform conditional logic, and it can run actions if certain criteria are met or not met. It can perform calculations. It can modify the format of information. So it's a very powerful tool if you want it to be. Another tool that you may have heard of that's very similar to Zapier is Integromat. Now, I don't have any personal experience with it, but I understand that it's very similar to Zapier. So you, if you're interested in automation, you can pick either of these two tools. They're going to be similar. I would recommend if you are going to start with Zapier, a good thing to do is sign up for an account and just connect the different services that you use. So you'll see all of the tools that it connects with, popular ones like Gmail, Asana, Pipedrive, Calendly, Zoom, Stripe, PayPal, MailChimp, a range of internet services that you probably already use. Zapier can connect with those. And then once you've even connected your accounts, it will even suggest ways that it could be useful. So it might say, when I have a new MailChimp subscriber, add them to my Pipedrive account, for example. So that would be my suggestion. Just sign up for an account, connect your different services. And I've linked in my show notes to my YouTube playlist of videos where I show you a little bit more about how to set up Zaps and use some of the tools and features that are available. So definitely go and check that out if you're interested. The next tool that I use that I wanted to talk about is Pipedrive. Now, a lot of sales CRMs like Pipedrive, other ones like Zoho and HubSpot are similar as well, have their own automation features built into them. So for example, with Pipedrive, which is what I use, I set up automated workflows that can create, for example, new activities on a deal or to send emails on my behalf when I move a deal to a certain stage. Now, I could do this with Zapier if I wanted to, but I'm automating the process within Pipedrive, so it kind of makes sense to use Pipedrive's workflow automations where it's all native, it's all built in, it works really well. And on the other hand as well, Zapier, you actually pay for the number of zaps that you need and tasks. So if I can keep that usage down and perform something via a different tool, then that's great. However, if I wanted to connect Pipedrive to a third-party tool like ConvertKit, then that's something I would need Zapier to do. So as you can see, I'm already kind of saying now and starting to think about what tool is appropriate for the job. And as you can see, it depends on what I'm actually trying to do. If I'm trying to do something simple in Pipedrive, like I just want to move a deal to the next stage in my funnel and have that create an activity, I could use workflow automation. But if I'm going to be trying to move a deal to the next stage and I want to send an email through MailChimp, well, that's a bit more complex. It uses a third party, so Zapier would be more appropriate. Now, a lot of the time, the automation capabilities within a CRM, as I've said, are quite simple, and they can't handle complex logic. They can't split actions into different paths or perform automation loops. Again, those more complex scenarios, that's where a tool like Zapier, which is a lot more powerful, is very handy. And if you do want to learn more about automating your sales process specifically with Pipedrive, the best resource is my Master Pipedrive program, where I go into detail about how workflow automation works and show you how that can all be set up. This episode of the Paul Miners podcast is sponsored by OutFunnel. OutFunnel allows you to connect data from all your marketing apps deeply and easily. So if you use a sales CRM like Pipedrive or HubSpot, OutFunnel can seamlessly sync your contacts to an email service like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign, and it keeps your two databases in sync. And then, once you've sent an email campaign, OutFunnel syncs the engagement data, like clicks, opens, and unsubscribes, back to your CRM. It even supports lead scoring, so the more a user engages with your content, the higher their lead score. This means that you and your sales team can focus on following up with the most engaged leads and close more sales. OutFunnel is the most boring marketing tool on the planet because you need to only set it up once and it just works. It's the tool that I recommend the most to my Pipedrive clients and is the number one top-ranked app on the Pipedrive marketplace. To get started, you can sign up at outfunnel.com/pool. That's outfunnel.com/pool, and sign up before August 30th to get 25% off your first 3 months. And thank you to OutFunnel for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. The next tool I wanted to mention is Hazel, and this is a tool I've mentioned a few times on the blog and podcast before. Now, where Zapier and Pipedrive are internet-based and run online when things happen across the various tools that I use, Hazel, on the other hand, runs on my Mac. Now, this is a document automation tool. There are alternatives available for the PC as well. So if you're a PC user listening to this, you can just Google, you know, document automation for PC, and I'm sure there are, in fact, I have seen there are very similar tools to Hazel available out there. Now, Hazel is a tool designed specifically to help automate documents and folders on the Mac. So it is a lot more niche in terms of what it can do. That said, it works in a very similar way where you set up a trigger and you can then have Hazel perform actions. So for example, a trigger might be when a file is added to a specific folder and maybe it contains certain keywords. That could be a trigger for me to go and do something. Or you could trigger an automation when a file is more than 7 days old. And then once that trigger happens, Hazel can perform actions like it can rename, move, tag, or even delete the file and do a bunch more things. Now, Hazel is a tool I use to effortlessly organize all the receipts and invoices that I receive. So I have them, I can automatically store them in my accounting folders in my iCloud Drive. I've linked to a video in the show notes of this episode where I've actually broken down that process to give you a really good idea of how Hazel works, and I've linked to my Getting Started with Hazel guide as well. But in a nutshell, it's a really nice, simple tool that helps me to move files around and say, right, if this file comes in from MailChimp, you know, move that to my receipts folder. Or it can even just help me to keep my Mac clean. If I've got old files sitting on my desktop that have been there for a few days, it can automatically put those in the trash and clean up after me, which is really nice. Now the final, the next tool I wanted to talk about is Text Expander. This is a tool I've mentioned numerous times on the blog and the podcast, and it is an incredible time-saving tool that helps you to really quickly type out blocks of text, and it's great for things like email templates or sharing links or storing blocks of text that you need access to. For example, all my YouTube descriptions I store in Text Expander. Now, rather than triggering automatically when something happens, Text Expander is triggered manually when you type out a snippet. So, for example, if I type out a semicolon, that's the one, the dot above the comma, that's a semicolon, and then EM, Text Expander returns my email address, so I don't have to type out my whole email. I just type out semicolon EM. Or if I type out the snippet semicolon intro, Text Expander generates an email template that I use to respond to new leads. And I classify this as an automation tool as it can save you from having to manually type out emails or from having to copy and paste text from some note that you've saved somewhere. It works on the PC and Mac. It's a tool that I genuinely believe that everyone can benefit from. I'm sure heard me talk about it before. It's one of the most recommended tools that I talk about on this podcast. So I've linked in the show notes to my guide on how to get started with Text Expander. And if you do want to sign up, check out the show notes, and I've included my affiliate link there. And the final tool I wanted to talk about today for automation is Keyboard Maestro. This is an automation tool that can perform actions on the Mac. A bit like Zapier for the Mac, in a way. Very similar. It works on a trigger action-based system. So with Keyboard Maestro, a trigger could be, for example, me typing a keyboard shortcut in. It could be an app opening or closing. It could be a trigger based on the time of day, or even when a device like a hard drive or a monitor is connected to my computer. Now, when that trigger happens, you can have Keyboard Maestro do a number of things, like it can perform keystrokes, it can change your Mac settings, it can open apps, it can close apps, it can move windows, and a lot more. I use it to do some really simple things, like, for example, when I open Zoom, because I'm getting into a meeting, or if I open ScreenFlow, because I'm making a video, I have Keyboard Maestro turn on Do Not Disturb, so I don't get any notifications. Or I can quickly mute my microphone on Zoom, or I can quickly start a screensaver using a function key. So rather than having to use my mouse, I can just hit one button on my keyboard and that will mute my microphone. Or I've set up a couple of keyboard shortcuts which allow me to move the windows that I'm using around to the left or to the right half of the screen. And this makes it really easy for me to set up my windows on my ultra-wide display to get them the way I want them as I'm doing my work. And this is a tool that I've added to my sort of tool belt most recently. But it's a very handy tool for streamlining how you do things on your Mac. Unlike Zapier, it doesn't really do a lot for me. Like Zapier is actually in the background doing things. It's really updating systems, creating new deals, activities, and all that kind of thing for me. It's actually doing a lot of work. Keyboard Maestro, on the other hand, is more of like a, I guess, like a convenience tool. It's something that makes my, helps me do my work more efficiently, definitely, but it's not doing as much for me, if that makes sense. And I just had a video come out last week showing how to get started with Keyboard Maestro. So I've included links, a link to that video in the show notes of this episode. So to wrap things up, these four tools, these are the four primary tools that I use to automate various tasks within my business. And if you're not sure where to get started, you know, I've mentioned a couple here today, I would recommend spending some time learning how to use Zapier. I think that's best bang for buck in terms of spending some time learning about one of these tools. Zapier is a very powerful tool. And in my business, it does a lot of the heavy lifting, and it's a tool I get the most value from. Or if this is just all too much to figure out and you'd rather just work with an expert or a team of experts to automate your business, then you can check out the link in the show notes of this episode. You can make an inquiry on my website. You can connect with me and my colleague Warwick, where we do a lot of automation work for clients, linking their systems together. So if you do want to just get help with an expert, definitely reach out to us and we would love to chat and see how we can help. So I hope this episode's been useful, though this two-part series as well. Automation is a topic I'm very passionate about. I really do think it helps me to achieve a lot more balance and freedom in my life by automating a lot of the mundane stuff that I have to do. So it's definitely a rabbit hole worth going down. One more time, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulminers.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.